pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning, 251-343-0106. If you need to be in touch with the show, you know what to do. All you got to do is text me, and we'll do our best to respond to whatever it is that might be on your mind. So come on the program, Will Hampson, and we'll talk some national elections. South Carolina really is kind of the center here. There's just runoff tonight with Darlene Graham and Ralph Norman. And it's, you know, the media, the mainstream media trying to, I guess, I think she's going to lose, but they're trying to set the stage here like this is some kind of test of Trump's political power. Does he have the sway for election politics in a midterm cycle? And so that's a big discussion here, is especially as like Republicans are going to have a big convention in Texas. I think they're anticipating 10 to 20. I mean, they want these members of Congress to pony up $10,000, $25,000 for this thing. And eager to see, I guess, tonight, if Norman pulls it out, I think the margins are going to be important. If Darlene Graham wins, then this is a moot discussion. It's a very risky endorsement, but we'll talk to Will about that. He knows South Carolina well, having been have done comms for Nancy Mace, who, for better or for worse, was a member of the of Congress in South Carolina, but this has gone some, I don't know if it's personality thing or what here, but very interesting. The life and ways of Nancy Mace, but we'll get into that later on in this hour. 251-343-0106. LV writes, it's because everyone wants everything put in the cloud! Exclamation point. But the cloud, yes, the cloud is out there. It's just, you want to store something on your device to slow your device down, or would you rather have it stored somewhere, especially as fast as internet connections are? How many people take photos with their phone? I've had an iPhone, I think, since 2008. So every photo I've taken in under my Apple account, I think over the years, has been stored in that cloud. And there's just not enough room on a device for that many images, that many videos, etc. What are we going to do with all this data someday? Who's going to take the time to go through it? So, but there's a utility to this, but I don't think that's really what's driving the need for this, the demand for it. Scroll over. Notice how in the news break there was something about a writer getting fired for criticizing Charlie Kirk. It should be noted that there's not only been pushback against those 90 people getting fired, but no one has retaliated, not even so much as what's the frequency kid at Style Smacky. Conservatives are too nice, while left-wing dinglings are proudly militant and psychologically bonkers. And they don't really, there's a lot of that that goes on, Scrovery. There's not a lot of talk about it. It's just not the media seem to overemphasize when it does happen on the right and downplay it when it happens on the left. That's their editorial judgment. My name texter Paul Birch talks like he is running a family business. Maybe someone should remind him that Mobile County Sheriff does not get to pick and choose what city in Mobile County Sheriff's Department will or will not provide services to. If he is not up to his job, then he should resign or he could be impeached. I think it is absolutely fair game for him to object to his agency having to perform the duties that are expected of a municipal police department within a municipality. That they're doing more than they've been asked. And keep in mind, you guys in Mobile County, you're all having to pay for this. This bankrupt municipality just can't find qualified people. The social contract is violated in so many ways. Public safety, it's not good. Scott, what do you think Tuberville gets done in the first 90 days? I think he gets a lot of things started. I think you're going to see a push to privatize the ABC. I don't know when you're going to see a push for gambling. I hear different things on that. But the real push, there will be gambling bills that are filed, but the real push you'll know is coming. Because they'll lay the groundwork for it. They'll come on shows like this and talk about the merits, the virtues of a comprehensive gambling bill. You'll hear, I'm not for gambling, but I'm for giving the people the right to vote on it until you're sick to your stomach. You'll know when it's coming. Motorman, if Pritchard PD dissolved, wouldn't the sheriff's department have to police a defunct place? I don't know what the law is on that. Now, they've disbanded a few police jurisdictions. I think the city of Vincent in Shelby County and Hanceville were disbanded. And those counties had to kind of step up and maybe neighboring police departments. But that's something that could be done. You know, this push toward almost like metro government. They could write the law in a way to say Mobile police are going to handle Pritchard now. But the taxes, the tax revenue that is marked for public safety, generated for Pritchard, however much that is, has to go to the city of Mobile to pay for this. Unnamed texter, Darlene Graham's poor debate performance doomed her chances. Norman's a solid conservative with widespread support. Yeah, and typically I'm of the idea that these debates don't matter. Who's watching them? But in this particular election, it's going to be very low turnout. There's a lot of interest here, but it's more national interest. And maybe the debate does matter a little bit more than it would if it were just a general election primary runoff under normal circumstances. Daniel, it's easy. Jeff, tell everybody without the new data centers, our Facebook account will not work part of the day. Well, it's not the Facebook page. I get it. Like, the people who are complaining about data centers are doing so on Facebook, but it's what Facebook wants to do with the data. It's the way they want to use it. Every big tech platform, Google, Twitter, Facebook, Microsoft, whatever, they got their own little AI app, right? Grok or ChatGPT or whatever you want to use. And that's where you're having to store the data. Mike, at what point will money-drunk Republicans start cutting the education budget instead of giving the AA 3% plus pay raise every year, though increasing the education budget, through increasing the education budget? Besides a few social issues, there's not a lick of difference between Alabama Republicans and Democrats. And to be frank, at least the Democrats have a history of making tax cuts that were helpful to people instead of the stupid 2% grocery gimmick that doesn't move the needle in anyone's budget. Well, I, you know, Mike, the one thing, if you were a follower of Alabama politics in the 90s, in the 2000s, AEA got everything it wanted. AEA got what it wanted before anybody else did. And that's different now. It's still very, very influential. There's still this conventional wisdom, and I don't know how relevant the AA is really to voting behavior. But they will say, oh, they send out their newsletter, and their newsletter, it gets my constituents up in arms. It's the same with the RSA and their newsletter. But that's changed, because I don't think that the AA is what it once was. And I think you have to credit Republican leadership for that. But it's working back into the system here more and more than it ever has. And this was something that, you know, this used to be, this teachers union used to be the boogeyman. What was wrong with Alabama? How many of you remember AEA? Paul Hubbard's the devil. He's got an outsized influence up there in the balconies. He was a giant of his time. But there's something that just doesn't sit right. Like, yes, the teachers' union's important. The teachers are important. They need to be able to run roughshod over the entire legislative process if they don't get their way. And the business community said no. And that set up that big fight between BCA and AEA in 2010. And BCA was clever. This was, you know, the Bill Canary era. And they hitched their wagon to that Tea Party movement. And then next thing you know, you have a Republican legislature for the first time in, since Reconstruction. And they took their losses and they went into the wilderness for a few years, and then they but their membership, the dues, their money for politics is still there. And it's going to have an outsized impact. There's no lobbyist for, like, I mean, maybe there's some nonprofit out there, but there's no well-concerted lobbying effort for, like, students or parents of students, but the teachers, yes. The school employees, yes. The administration, yes. And some of that gets lost in the shuffle. Ultra Runner, I worry about our incoherence because the left starts with a false premise, but offers simple, coherent answers. You're broke. It's not your fault. Here are some free stuff. We say you're broke. It might be your fault. Have you tried working harder? Yes, we tax you more for that, but we get people who really need it. Smart young voters are attracted to coherence, and we don't offer it. Well, this used to be like a Reagan thing, you know, just demonize those who are some kind of government assistants. But the left's been very clever at de-weaponizing that over the years, I think. And it's just sort of the media culture we live in is partially to blame, Ultra Runner. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. 251-343-0106. Will Hampson will join us in the next segment, so make sure that you stick around for that. Coming up tomorrow on this show, we got Joey Clark booked. We don't have a full guest roster yet, but I'll work on that at the conclusion of today's show. So make sure you tune in. Sometime in that 8 o'clock a.m. hour, I will we'll post a guest roster on our on my Twitter page, x.com/Jeff_Poor. And you can see who is coming up on the program. Let's see. Let's get a couple of these texts out of the way before we get to our next guest. Let's see. Ben writes, we used to be able to store data on that SD card in our phone. Now most phones don't have the SD storage option. Wonder why that is. It's not a very, I don't think it's very efficient. These phones do more and more and more and more. And these apps get more, you know, this is my experience. And I think it's what keeps these manufacturers of these iPhones in business. But these phones are doing more with these apps. And, you know, the data storage just isn't. Especially like now you can shoot videos and you know, I find, you know, using up the phone data a lot of times. I mean, it happens. And I use my phone pretty, it's a very important tool of productivity for my number of my jobs. Not just as a functioning phone, but as the having access to the internet. Knowing what's going on. Yes, doom scrolling through my social media. Which, by the way, the algorithms, the way you got to go approach these algorithms, you got to create your own algorithm and not be held captive by what Facebook or what X or what Instagram think that you're interested in. But if you kind of silo it off, find the people or the accounts that you think are important and you create your own list, it becomes such a better option, I believe. I will scroll a little on the, you know, what the algorithm has in store for me. But a lot of times it's like, I know I'm interested in what's going on in Alabama politics, what's going on in Auburn and Alabama football, what's going on in Braves baseball, what's going on locally in Fairhope or Daphne or the Eastern Shore. Things I could talk about on the radio, radio guests, et cetera. And you create your own list and you create your own algorithm. But the days of the SD card, I guess that was sort of a long-winded answer, are I just don't think that's a... If they're having to build, Ben, these giant data centers, that little card just isn't going to measure up. Or they would just have one big giant card somewhere, I suppose. Southern Jedi writes, if it's a free service, then you are a product. Sounds like bumper sticker wisdom. Unnamed texture. Amen, Jeff. We are what we eat. Well, it's easy to demonize all of these tech apps and devices, but I mean, they do some good things. They do have some positive contributions. There's a lot of bad that comes with it. I'm not denying that. But if they were so terrible, would we use them as much as we do? Mike writes on X, this for you section is schizophrenic at the time, and Facebook is only for boomers and dumb AI crap now. Well, yeah, there's a lot of AI, like a lot of AI generated content that's just garbage. They got to figure that out at some point to improve the product, I believe. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FN Talk 106.5.
Fences down flat long before you take this cowboy's hat. Now, if your leather jacket means to you what this hat means to me, then I get.
Promise me, son, not to do the things I've done. Whoa.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. What's left of it? 251-343-0106. We'll get to some of your text, time permitting. So feel free to keep them coming. Joining us now, we do this every Tuesday. He works at P2 Public Affairs, very attuned to what's going on in national politics. Will Hampson joins us on the line. Will, good morning. How are you?
Jeff, doing great. Glad to be with you.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. We do appreciate it. I guess the we'll start out here with South Carolina. Trump could take an L. I think a lot of people are they're kind of bracing for that is what I hear. But I think what's going to be important, maybe if Darlene Graham can't win, it's just the margins, right?
Absolutely. And there was some polling that was put out last night that effectively had them tied. They were both at 47%. I think Darlene Graham was like 0.2% behind, which obviously it goes to show that this is going to be a super tight race. It is a complete toss up, and turnout in different parts of the state is going to be really important. There's some bad weather in the low country, the Charleston area. Does that affect turnout? Nikki Haley, that's her base. That's where she lives. She's endorsed Ralph Norman. So does that kind of suppress turnout? And in a race that's effectively a toss-up, you know, you have 2 or 3% less turnout in some of these areas that could swing the ultimate outcome. So I think most people in the state that I've talked to expect that Ralph Norman is the slight favorite, but it really is anybody's game. And turning out the voters is going to be super important. And let's not forget, Jeff, I mean, obviously having the Trump machine, I think the president has spent about $1 million on behalf of Darlene Graham just on texts, on getting out the vote, the GOTV operation. So obviously a very, very helpful thing when you're looking at how close this election is. Darlene having that that support of the president and his team and his operation in a state where he's obviously been very successful is a big deal.
But it just feels like Luther Strange circa 2017, where, you know, we really didn't have a discussion about his appointment to the U.S. Senate. And it just seemed like, you know, they were just gifting a U.S. Senate seat away. I mean, just to me, it feels a lot like that. And I wouldn't be surprised if when it's all said and done, the outcome is, you know, 5-10 points in that window for Ralph Norman.
And look, Jeff, I think the interesting dynamics, I mean, this has been a sprint, right? I mean, you effectively had 5 or 6 weeks before the primary. Then you had a couple weeks here in the runoff. This has been a very quick race. And I think the expectation, the reason why Darlene Graham was seen as such the favorite is because, A, she had the seat, she had the Trump endorsement, she had the endorsement of the sitting governor. All she had to do was not really mess up. Well, what did she do in the debate? She really messed up. She was asked a question about Taiwan, about geopolitical things going on in the South China Sea. And her answer, as I'm sure everyone has seen on social media, was, I don't really know about that stuff. All she had to do was not make a major mistake, and she did. And so if at the end of the day she loses, I think obviously it's because she was pressured into debating. She felt like she had to because she really didn't. Wasn't out there. Nobody really knew her positions on anything. And when finally asked, what are your positions? She said, I don't know. Not a good thing. But I will say also interesting, Jeff, there are a lot of people that kind of operate in the same ways that they operate. And I think it's really interesting. They felt like sending Darlene on Hannity, that's kind of become the establishment cleanup. Is you say something kind of dumb or you do something kind of liberal, and we're going to put you out on Hannity, give you your hit in that Fox News primetime hour, and you kind of clean things up. That gets you your conservative street creds back. I just don't get the sense that that's working in this instance. That's what they did. They followed the playbook. She said something very bad in the debate. They sent her out on Hannity. And from everyone I've talked to, I have some good friends that are kind of in that Lindsey Graham, Darlene Graham world that I've worked on different races with. They kind of felt like that was good, that they had cleaned it up, that they had done everything they needed to do. They sent her out on Hannity. They were good to go. And it just doesn't feel like that's the case. It feels like, to your point, that there is a little bit of kind of Luther Strange here. And it just seems like some of the people surrounding Darlene Graham did not really fully understand the dynamics of what they were dealing with.
Well, I still think it's this. The low propensity voter tends to dwell on the Fox News primetime lineup. These are the people in Alabama who, as long as they got an R by their name, they get to the Republican nominee gets to dine off of that notoriety of being the Republican. And they're all the same. I mean, they're just one big single entity in their minds. I don't think a two-week runoff sprint, that's applicable. And I also, like, you know, typically would say debates don't matter. No one watches them. But I think in this circumstance, in what ought to be probably a fairly low turnout event, the people who do matter were watching the debate. They did see the gaffe. They did see this and the deer in headlights look. And I, you know, to me, this, she just wasn't coached up enough for this moment. And it takes people, sometimes it takes some years to get coached up for that moment. But to think that you could just kind of engineer this and get it done the way that they envisioned it was just a tactical error.
And the dynamics are tough too, Jeff, in that, look, what you effectively have is every single person from Lindsey Graham's orbit currently in Darlene Graham's orbit. If you look, all of the congressional staff in the Senate office, exactly the same. All of the campaign staff, the campaign manager, Scott Farmer, who did all of Lindsey's races, is running the Darlene Graham political operation. I mean, you look at it, and what they effectively did was pick up Lindsey, put him off to the side, pick up Darlene and put her right in there. And the problem is, when you're operating the same way you've operated forever, Darlene is not Lindsey. You trying to do something with a completely different person acting like it's the same thing, and it's just not.
And Lindsey Graham, I mean, was never tested. I mean, I guess his biggest test came when he was first elected, but that machinery around her is not battle tested. They're not ready for this either. They have kind of a, I mean, they're as good as anybody, I suppose, but in this circumstance, you know, you think you check all the boxes, you get the Trump endorsement, he comes and does a rally for you. He actually spends money on your race. But to me, that, other than that, I mean, they're just sort of like these tangible qualities a candidate has to possess, and people around her, they just don't have it. They weren't ready for this.
100%. And not only that, but she has to take the negatives of all that, right? I mean, if you're a voter in South Carolina, you are acutely aware that no matter what she says, no matter how many times she says, I'm not my brother, I'm not Lindsey Graham, well, the same people who are in charge of Lindsey are in charge of you. A lot of the same things, all of those dynamics still exist. And so if you're looking as a voter, you have to answer, do I want to kind of continue doing Lindsey Graham without Lindsey Graham, or is this time for a change? Because frankly, Jeff, Ralph Norman, obviously a Freedom Caucus guy, but he's a lot more in the ilk of a Thomas Massey. He's someone that did not endorse President Trump in the primaries. He's been a thorn in the side of a lot of major legislation coming from this Republican Congress. He's a guy that has a lot of baggage as well. But the fact of the matter is, he's just not the plug and place candidate. He's the change. He's the different direction. And I think he, at the end of the day, if he wins, it's not going to be because people were super fired up about Ralph Norman. It was because they said, for the first time in forever, we have a chance to kind of change the direction of how we operate in the United States Senate. And we're going to do it.
It's a lot like Alabama in that sense. And, you know, Ralph Norman, every state has their Barry Moore or Mo Brooks or whatever. And maybe he's that guy. but like he's got a built-in base of support, and it becomes a game of addition for him. With Graham, it seems it's just a game of like trying to stop the subtraction, trying to maintain that same support that Lindsey Graham had. And like you were saying, this plug and play situation's not working.
And also keep in mind, Jeff, which I think voters are very aware of, but the Trump presidency ends in 2 years. And so what you effectively have is a senator who has basically said, I'll take direction from Trump. Well, what happens when Trump goes away? I mean, even if it's a J.D. Vance presidency, or pick whoever you want if a Republican wins, well, now you've got Lindsey Graham's staff who guided Lindsey Graham to a lot of things that people thought were unpopular. You don't have Donald Trump kind of saying, Darlene, this is what you're going to do. Stay in line. You've got someone that really doesn't know what they're doing up there with no guidance, with no North Star, other than, again, the same people that kind of guided Lindsey Graham. And so I think voters are frankly a little bit worried, a little bit nervous about what that means. And they obviously want to give President Trump wins. And that's, as we know, Jeff, the national media, if she loses, is going to come out and say, this is terrible for Donald Trump. He put all his weight behind her. He did all the things and she still lost. And I think this has nothing to do with President Trump. I think we obviously know that Republican voters in the state of South Carolina, they love the president. They want to support him as best they can. But they understand when we're looking at this, 2/3 of her term are going to be without President Trump as president. We need to be sure that this is someone that is going to give us the right conservative governance. And someone who's going to give us a different direction from Lindsey Graham. Because, again, we don't want Timu Lindsey Graham if you're a rank-and-file South Carolina voter.
But the establishment's really rallied behind her. It's interesting to me. Maybe it's just a family loyalty or something. But, you know, they could have had a lot of different candidates run for that. And they chose her. I can't, you know, and when I say establishment, I throw Trump into that mix. Should they have tried to do better than that?
Maybe. I think obviously the president, Jeff, had a very, very close relationship with Lindsey Graham that goes beyond politics. And so I think when you're looking at this, I think this is kind of something that's uncomfortable for the president. I think he's not someone who's usually overly emotional. He's not someone that usually gets, lets things outside of business cloud his decisions. This absolutely is a decision that goes beyond pure business, that goes beyond pure politics. And once the president said, I'm going to get involved on behalf of Darlene, it's really tough for the establishment to kind of say, you know what, we're going to go a different direction. You look at it, obviously a lot of the most conservative senators, the Rick Scotts, Mike Lees, they have endorsed Ralph Norman. They went against the president because they thought it was that important that we get a real conservative Freedom Caucus type. You've got some of the more establishment types, all of leadership, obviously Katie Britt, endorsing Darlene Graham, walked into the Senate with her on the first day. So you've got kind of these different factions, even among the Senate, the leadership, obviously the rank and file, very supportive of Darlene Graham. But is it going to be enough? And does that hurt her too? I mean, that to your point, Jeff, right? If you're trying to kind of show that I've got my own leg to stand on,
right?
Maybe having all of the backing and support of those leadership types is not the right thing at this moment.
Yeah, this is what makes me feel Luther Strange vibes with this race. We're joined by Will Hampson here on the program. The other thing that's kind of showed up, and there's the midterm convention, and I saw a Politico story, the president's political team's asking for big money for this. I got to think if he takes an L tonight, I still think the president's very popular in Republican circles, but is this really the event that a lot of these members of Congress are going to want to pony up to be a part of?
Well, Jeff, I am going to be at the convention. I'm excited for it, but I will tell you this. I really don't know what it's going to look like as far as what speakers look like, as far as the programs. We obviously, we know that the president will speak. We expect that the vice president will be there. Still a lot of question marks, and we're 2 weeks out from it. So I think there are a lot of people that would like to see a little bit of clarity. But look, I think any time that the president is willing to insert himself and try and help the Republican base, if this is an opportunity for candidates to get some fundraising boosts, to be able to meet with donors in Dallas, all of these things are good. They help. And I think at the end of the day, whether the president weighs in or not and how heavily he weighs in, he's got a major war chest of about $500 million. All of these things are super important. We also know, Jeff, that there are a lot of voters that will not go vote unless Donald Trump pretty frankly tells them to, or if he's on the ballot. So trying to get some of those lower propensity conservative voters to go vote, especially in a place like Texas, he's got to help get Ken Paxton across the finish line. There are some other big races across the country. You've got Georgia, you've got North Carolina, you've got Maine, you've got Michigan. All of this needs to start happening. And I think it's good to see that the president is willing to do some unconventional things to try and drum up some support and rally the troops here.
Will, folks will find you online. How can they do so?
The Will Hansen on X, Jeff.
Will, we appreciate it. We'll do it again next week.
Let's do it. Talk to you soon.
All right, let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Parking a holler beneath the mountain moonlight. Hold her up tight. Make a little loving. A little turn of loving on a Mason-Dixon line. Fits my life. Oh, so right. My Dixieland life.
More, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on what's left of this Tuesday morning. Tomorrow, well, Joey Clark and some other guests to be named later. Let's see. Do we have any text here? One to Toothless Bamber. Definitely a Ralph Norman guy since Katie Britt is endorsing Lindsay's sister. That's a little, I don't know. It's, there's sort of an institutionalism there. And I just think that for whatever reason, they see her as a better fit than Ralph Norman. And, you know, we went through all those reasons in the last segment with Will, sort of why Ralph Norman is comparable when you talk about, like, his role in the House versus his role in the United States Senate, what that would look like. Will it look like his role in the House? And there's a lot of people who maybe don't know about that. Anyway, enough of that. Coming up here shortly, Midday Mobile. Sean, what you got?
Hey, Jeff, yeah, in just a couple minutes, you know, we had this conversation yesterday about just the economics of cows. And Aaron Beasley, the executive vice president at Alabama Cattlemen's Association, my leadoff guest for Midday Mobile. So that's coming up. We'll talk about that. How you, if you want, which I think it's a good thing, American producers to have more cattle, have more supply, how do you incentivize that? You know, my simpleton, you know, I'm not an economics major, but was like, if you want more of something in an economy, you incentivize it by letting people make more money doing it. So she and I are going to talk about this in a little bit. Plus, April Marie Fogle joins me. A couple things. We'll talk about flock cameras and Second Amendment right combination. That story pretty interesting over at 1819 News. Talk about that. Also, John Sharp joins me. A couple stories that got my attention here. You're putting officers in schools, finally. This move, I think, has been something we've talked about for a long time. Sheriff's Department had talked about it. But what about putting officers as, you know, security officers in all the school systems within the city? So we'll talk about that as well with John coming up in the 1 o'clock hour.
You know, and you and I were talking before we went off air about the slaughterhouses, meat packers.
Packing houses. Yep. That's a big deal.
But it doesn't seem to be like, as prominent in this discussion as it needs to be. I still think that's where the disconnect is. That's where it was during COVID.
You remember that? Yeah, it was. Yeah. Absolutely. We focused on it about that. You know, the two things that, you know, I had like some dog in the hunt. It was people saying how expensive lumber was. I said, well, producers, you know, cutting trees aren't making money. And people producing beef aren't producing cows aren't making money, but you're paying more for lumber, you're paying more for beef. Yeah, there's a disconnect along the way.
Yeah, there's a retail markup for sure.
Yeah,
but I don't know that that's necessarily where the problem lies. I think it's somewhere in the middle. But
we'll bounce that around, and maybe you and I can talk about it one day too.
Yeah, absolutely. I got to get out of here. We'll try to do better tomorrow. Sorry, Phyllis, I forgot to say goodbye. This has been the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5.